The Walt Disney Castle appears. Text, Walt Disney Pictures. Text, Walt Disney Pictures presents. Movie title, blank check. Fog settles and rain comes down on railway tracks. In the distance is a vague outline of a person running on a train track. The man in an orange prison jumpsuit gets closer, panting as he runs. The man stops in front of a large empty building. He looks around. Lightning illuminates him momentarily, revealing he is wearing orange prison clothing. He starts to run towards the building, sliding down the pebbled slope beside the tracks. He disappears off into the distance as the rain continues to pour. As he slides down another pebble slope, he passes a sign by the track that reads Hillsdale 12 miles. The convict climbs up the stairs and into the building. Inside the building, it's pitch dark, with sudden bouts of light as lightning strikes. It is piled with various bits and pieces of machinery. The convict runs through the machinery, carefully looking around. He pushes a barrel over. As it falls aside, he kneels down above a metal door and struggles to open it. He suddenly stops and looks over his shoulder. He lights a blowtorch and brings it close to the corners of the door, trying to cut through the metal. Flames crackle and bounce off the surface. He is relentless. Finally, he manages to open the metal door and reaches in, rummaging around.
Where are you?
The convict pulls out a suitcase, dropping it on the ground. He kneels over it and begins to open it. Inside the suitcase are wads of cash. He slowly touches the cash as he looks down at $100 bills stacked neatly in the suitcase. He smiles at the money.
Hello, beautiful.
He picks up one wad of cash, bringing it close to his face as he takes a long, satisfactory sniff. He flips through the wad of cash. Throwing it back in the suitcase, he hurriedly slams it shut and picks it up. He gets up to leave as he slams the metal door shut. Elsewhere, a little boy with green eyes and buck teeth blinks.
Dad, I've given this some thought, and I've decided that since Damien and Ralph have their own rooms...
He frowns.
Well, there's no reason why they should be bringing their junk into my room. Well, how's that sound, Alan?
The boy looks eagerly at a goldfish in a jar. He hears a thud and looks up. Two teenage boys barge into the room with boxes.
Stay. Oops, kicked your baby monkey.
Get out of here, Ralph!
Here.
The little boy is pushed on the bed.
Damien, this is my room.
Was. Now it's also the world headquarters of Hand and Foot Incorporated.
Hand and Foot.
Ralph and Damien high-five and hop around as they hold each other's ankles.
You guys aren't gonna make a dime.
Okay, we'll use this.
They take the little boy's money jar and throw it back and forth.
Oh, consider yourself our silent partner.
Yeah, say something and you're dead.
An older man walks in.
Great.
The man walks over to the desk with a stack of books. Damien and Ralph leave.
Dad? I've given this a lot of thought, and I've decided that since Damien and Ralph have their own room...
Preston, they need the space for their business.
Not my space.
Well, young man, in this family industry gets rewarded. See, while you're in here playing, your brothers are hard at work.
Yeah, kissing butt for money.
Well, you know the golden rule. He wears the gold, makes the rules.
Hey, you know, one of these days you'll have a job.
When I was your age, I had my own business.
Cleaning wheels.
I was pulling down $100 a week polishing cars.
You should say 75.
Well, you gotta think big, Preston.
Always telling the same story. Got that?
Surprise. The man walks in holding a computer.
Yeah, it's for your business. You can't spare at the office. Damien, the speakers are out in the hall.
How's it work?
Well, it, imitates human intelligence, like you guys.
Hey, Preston, maybe you could teach your brothers how to use it.
Not possible.
Well, don't worry, boy. Software in here will teach you how to do everything but make love to a woman.
The boy's mother walks in as Preston helps his father set up the computer.
Oh, here, let me help you with that.
Preston, honey, you're going to be late for Butch's birthday party.
Who wants to celebrate Butch's birth?
As mother leaves and father follows, Preston stands over the computer, clacking away at the keyboard while Damien and Ralph clean up the shelf.
Damien and Ralph sleep butt to face, butt to face, butt to face.
Damien and Ralph rush to the computer as Preston backs up, grinning. They knock the device about. Damien pulls the plug as Ralph grabs Preston, and Damien punches him in the arm.
Ow. Don't rub it. Be a man.
As Preston keels over, Damien and Ralph laugh and leave the room. He rubs his arm and walks over to the bed, sitting down.
Come on, Preston. You don't want to be late for Butch's birthday party.
father and Preston drive off.
So, are you gonna have fun today?
How can I, Dad? I don't have any money.
All right, look, here's a couple of bucks. Heck, you can have fun all day on that.
You don't get out much, do you, Dad?
At Clifton Fun Park, Preston stands under the big blinking signboard, sighing, as excited children rush into the park. A banner reads, "Happy Birthday, Butch." Kids walk up to Butch and high-five him as they wish him happy birthday. Preston walks over.
Oh, look! It's Presto the Pesto!
Butch holds out his palm and Preston goes to slap it, but Butch pulls it back.
Token!
All the kids follow Butch as he runs to the token counter, leaving Preston behind. Butch slams a $50 bill on the counter. One by one, kids line up to collect their tokens.
27.
6, please.
Preston places $6 on the counter. The man slides out 6 tokens. The kids get in line outside a ride with a big model of a rattlesnake above its entrance and a board that reads, "The Rattler." Preston is uncertain. He looks up at the sign that reads, 7 tokens. He looks down at the tokens in his hands as kids make their way into the gates and onto the ride. The children hold on tight, screaming as the roller coaster rolls up and down its tracks. Preston stands outside, looking up at the ride. The kids scream and wave their hands about. Sadly, Preston walks away. Later, Preston sits in an airplane ride for small kids that goes around and around. A toddler sits in the seat behind him. The plane goes around and around as Preston grumpily looks out. Butch and the kids come running out of the Rattler, excited. They jump onto a crazy carousel that spins them off the ground as they wave their feet in the air. Preston stands behind the railing, watching the kids having fun. Preston sits on the back of a wooden ostrich in a kid's carousel, grumpily riding as other small children sit on other animals with their parents. He looks over to the side. Butch and a couple of other kids mock him and run off.
Preston! Come with us! Just kidding!
Butch and the kids wave their hands about as they enjoy a log raft water slide. Preston watches from behind a railing, munching on cotton candy. The kids shriek as the boat slides down the gushing water. As the boat comes crashing down, water splashes all over Preston and his cotton candy. That evening at dinner.
Did you have fun at Butch's birthday party?
I have a question. Are we broke?
No, we just have to watch our spending habits.
That's right, like when your mother calls her sister back east and talks for 97 minutes.
So, if we're not poverty-stricken, there must be some other reason I'm so deprived.
Fly here!
Woo!
Going to the ball game.
Can I go?
We bought tickets, Toad.
Damien!
You need some cash?
Nah, we got a bunch of change.
Later, Preston.
It's not fair. Why can't I have anything?
Well, Preston, they have jobs and they've learned to save.
How can I save money if I don't have any?
A penny saved is a penny earned.
What do you want for your birthday?
Money. So I can pay to have Ralph and Damien knocked off.
Anything else?
Well, maybe we'll give him one of his birthday presents early.
She hands him an envelope.
A gift came from Grandma today.
He rips it open and inside is a card. He shuffles the card about and a check falls out. It reads, "Pay to the order of Preston Waters," and signed by Myrtle Waters.
What a ripoff! It's a check for nothing.
His father looks up from his paperwork and grabs the check from Preston's hands.
Bad day.
Father looks at it closely.
Oh, your grandma just forgot to fill in how much it was for, but she signed it at the bottom. See? It's a blank check. Oh, we're just filling the amount.
How much did you get last year, honey?
$1,000.
$10.
Wait, Dad, what about inflation?
I'll make it 11. 11. You'd be surprised how fast $11 can grow with interest.
He places the check on the table next to Preston's plate.
Preston.
And empty chair.
Preston.
Later, Preston clacks away at the computer. The screen reads, "Account goal, $1 million.
4.5% interest.
Your account will reach $1 million in 342,506 years.
I'm stuck here forever.
Lights out up there.
Why?
My house, my rules.
Preston types into a note on his computer that says, "My birthday list." Preston lies in bed, yawning, and slowly closes his eyes. The next day, Preston cycles out of his driveway and onto the street. He cycles past a big castle-like house, looking up at it. A car pulls up, coming to a halt. Later, the lobby of a bank is bustling with activity as people walk around, lining up at the counters and filling out forms. An older man sits on a chair behind a big desk in another room, his feet up on the shelf behind the desk. On the desk is a sign that reads, Edward Bitterman, President. Suddenly, someone grabs a pair of scissors from the desk, and without the sitting man noticing, he snips the telephone cable.
You don't look happy to see me.
Quick, Quigley. Quigley!
It's funny, I don't remember you stuttering on the witness stand. You just sang like a bird, didn't you?
Well, I had no choice, Carl. I've been lying in court.
You also pointed at me. That hurt.
Well, I was under oath. I mean,
Colbert, the only reason you're alive, Biederman, is I knew I might need you again someday. Like today.
Oh, sure. You need a loan? Rates are great now. And you get a toaster?
I don't need a toaster.
Quigley slams the suitcase on the table.
Before I went away,
he opens the case and turns it around. Mr. Bitterman stutters and pulls out a wad of cash.
These pills are marked consecutive. They trace these in a minute.
That's right. That's where you come in, old buddy. I want new bills. We're back in the S&L business, Bitterman.
Money laundering is very difficult these days.
Quigley walks around the desk to Mr. Bitterman.
That's a good-looking family right there.
You're not going to hurt them, are you?
He throws the framed photo down on the desk.
How do you want to do this?
I'll send my guy in tomorrow with a check for $1 million. Yep, tomorrow, just like the old days. You give him the cash, unmarked, send him on his way.
Whom should I expect?
Whom should you expect? His name is Juice.
Juice?
Mm. He'll be here in exactly 24 hours. Let's call it 1 o'clock.
Quigley taps the clock on the desk.
Come on. Walk me out. Show a little respect.
He turns to leave. Outside the bank on the sidewalk, Preston pulls up on his bicycle and looks up at the building. He gets off the cycle and leans it on the wall. Flyers read First National Bank of Hillsdale on the wall outside, and Preston grabs a flyer, looking at it carefully. He turns and walks towards the door. Preston walks up to a bronze sculpture of Atlas holding the earth on his shoulders and looks up at it.
I know how you feel.
He walks down the lobby to the reception counter. The doors open, and a young woman with short hair walks out, holding some files. Preston stops and stares at her, and then looks down at the flyer, realizing it's the same woman. As she walks past the customers, she smiles at them, and he looks at her in awe. He walks towards the reception desk. She stands behind the counter, arranging items and putting up a name board as he approaches. He stares at her, awestruck.
Hi.
Hi. Can you see okay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. I would like to open an account, please.
$11. Do you have any other money you'd like to deposit, Mr. Waters?
Oh, I could, but it's sort of hard to save around my house. That's why I'm here.
I'm afraid we have a minimum balance. It's $200.
$200? That could take a million years.
Well, whenever you're ready, please come back and see me, okay? My name's Shay Stanley. Ask for me.
Okay, I'll do that.
He takes his check back, still looking at her in awe.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Shay waves at him, smiling.
I'll see you next time.
I hope it's not in a million years.
Stuttering, Preston backs away from the counter and then turns. Outside, Quigley walks and Mr. Bitterman rushes behind him.
Here, you can use these checks, they're temporary.
Mr. Bitterman hands him a checkbook and he grabs it.
Like a relationship.
Meanwhile, Preston gets back on his bicycle. Just then, Butch cycles by and grabs Preston's check from his hand.
Stop, guys!
Give me that!
Butch pedals off quickly. Preston chases him down through the parking lot. Quigley walks by, spinning his keys on his finger. Preston pedals hard, as Quigley walks over to his car and opens the door. Butch swerves between cars as Preston follows close behind. Quigley sits inside and reaches out to close the door. As the car pulls out, Butch swerves his bike and Preston follows. Quigley blows himself a kiss in the rearview mirror. He puts the key in the ignition and turns it. Preston pedals fast, and as Butch swerves around a bend, Preston's bike chain comes off, and he falls to the ground. He sits on the ground beside the bike, as Quigley begins to reverse the car in his direction. Butch stops and turns to see Preston's bike getting crushed by the car. Quigley stops the car and looks back. He steps out of the car, closing the door shut, and walks around to the back.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
Preston stands up and looks at him. Butch huddles over.
I saw the whole thing. I can be a witness if the price is decent.
Get out of here. He's perfectly all right. Aren't you?
Preston looks up at Quigley.
Aren't you?
Yes.
Good. Get that thing out from underneath my car.
Quigley turns and walks away.
What about my bike?
He stops and comes back.
Kid, was I the one who parked there?
Word. Are you all right?
He's fine. It was just a little accident. He's okay.
I think this guy's been drinking vodka.
I have not been drinking. I don't drink at all. Seriously. Seriously.
Quigley bends down to look at Preston, pulling out his checkbook.
How much you want for the bike?
$1,000.
I'm not talking to you. Bye, kid. Go on, walk away. What do you want, kid? Name a figure. We'll discuss.
Quigley crouches down to talk to Preston. He pulls out the checkbook that Mr. Bitterman had given him moments ago and signs a check.
Give this to your dad. He'll know what to do with it.
Seeing the police car, he forgets to enter a dollar amount, pushes the check into Preston's palm, and hurriedly drives away. Later, Preston sadly pushes his broken bike home.
I thought we understood about taking care of our valuables.
Valuable? It was a piece of junk.
Well, if that's how you feel about a gift from your parents, I don't see giving you a new one for your birthday.
I don't want a new bike. I want my own room.
I'm warning you, you're on thin ice as it is about the bike.
You know what I want? What I want is my own house. My rules. My money.
That's it, young man. Until further notice, you're grounded.
Angrily, Preston storms off up the stairs. His parents watch, exasperated.
What did I do wrong?
Father walks off as mother sighs.
Fred.
Later that night, Preston sits in his room with his forehead resting on his palm. He suddenly looks down at his t-shirt pocket and pulls out the folded check. Preston opens the check, frowning as he examines it. The check is blank, except for Quigley's signature on the bottom right.
Blank check.
Preston turns to make sure no one is watching him. He gets up from his desk and rushes over to the door quietly, peering to look out. Slowly, he closes the door. Preston switches on his computer and begins to type.
Preston Waters. 200.
He clicks the mouse and removes 200 and begins to type again. Preston goes through the font list, picking a different font. He bites his fingernails, thinking, then turns to look back. He sheepishly turns back to the computer, grinning, and then begins to type again.
1 million
Grinning, he scrolls up to his name. He selects and removes it.
Cash.
He puts the check in the printer and clicks on print. The check pops out, freshly printed. Slowly, he looks around as he picks it up. He stares at the check, wide-eyed. Preston jumps onto his bed, excited. He lies down and holds the check up, looking at it. He kisses the check and looks at it again, grinning. Turning over to his side, Preston looks at the check happily. Folding it, he puts it under his pillow and grins as he falls asleep. The next day, the security camera at the bank swerves from left to right as people line up at the reception desk. Preston stands in line and looks up at the camera. He smiles at it nervously, looking around shiftily.
Hey, Sonny.
He turns to see a big policeman standing behind him.
Cashing a big one today?
The policeman smiles at Preston.
Sort of.
Preston turns away nervously.
Yoo-hoo! Over here, young man.
He peers over to see one of the bank tellers next to Shay, beckoning him over. Preston walks over to her.
Well?
I'd like to cash this check, please.
He places the check on the counter. The bank teller reaches over to pick it up. She looks at him grumpily, then at the check. She reads it, smirks, then closely inspects it.
Oh, a comedian.
No, man.
Okay, then we better take it to Mr. Bitterman. Come on.
Mr. Bitterman peers at the clock on his desk impatiently. He looks up as the bank teller opens the doors, walking in with Preston right behind her.
Excuse me, Mr. Biederman. We have a little problem here.
What is it, Mrs. Udowitz?
Someone thinks this is some kind of game.
What?
Mr. Biederman walks over.
Let me see that.
He takes the check from Mrs. Udowitz, and she turns to glare at Preston.
I see.
He looks at the check, and then at Preston, and then back at the check.
Is there much of a line out there, Mrs. Udowitz?
Yes, we're swamped.
Now, what are you doing here? Please.
He waves her away. Mrs. Udowitz huffily turns and walks off, glaring at Preston as she passes him. Preston shuffles in his place nervously. Mr. Biederman looks at him closely, still holding the check. Preston looks down at his feet shiftily. Mr. Biederman stares at him intently. Preston nervously blinks, and Mr. Biederman continues staring. Preston stares back.
Juice?
No thanks, I'm not thirsty.
Not thirsty? Mr. Quigley, give you this check.
He did.
He did.
Preston nods.
How did you run into Mr. Quigley?
I didn't. He ran into me.
Mr. Biederman turns to look at the wall on his left, full of clocks. One is labeled New York, and it reads 12:57 p.m. He turns back to Preston. Mr. Biederman chuckles. Preston smiles a little. Mr. Biederman grabs a lighter and sets the check on fire. Preston looks on in shock. He sighs, exasperated, and turns to leave.
I suppose you want big bills.
Preston turns back.
Actually, regular size would be okay.
Mr. Biederman walks over to the painting behind his desk, pushing it up to reveal a safe.
Put your backpack on the table.
Preston puts his backpack on the desk, opening it. Mr. Biederman turns the dial on the safe, entering its combination. He opens it, and inside are piles of cash. Preston's jaw drops. Mr. Biederman comes forward with a few stacks.
I assume you know what to do with this.
Nodding happily, he picks up a few stacks of cash, flips through them, and puts them in his backpack. Meanwhile, Mrs. Udowitz stands at her counter.
Next!
Look, your sweetheart, you look kind of good. They got your pearls and everything on. Hate for something to have to happen to him. But look here, my name is Juice. And I got something right here, and I wonder if you'd be so kind enough as to cash it for me.
What do you want, $1 million?
Well, as a matter of fact, I do.
Juice holds up the check, and Mrs. Udowitz leans in to take a closer look.
Go see Biederman.
Up in his office, Mr. Biederman pulls out more wads of cash, tossing them on the table, and Preston hurriedly stuffs them in his backpack. Meanwhile, Juice makes his way up a winding staircase. Mr. Biederman leans in to help Preston fill up his backpack. He stuffs the cash inside. Juice walks down the hallway towards Mr. Biederman's office. Preston finally throws in the last wad of cash.
You told Mr. Quigley that he hasn't lost his touch.
Right.
Go now.
Preston slings the backpack over his shoulder and turns.
Hey, kid. Stay away from the racetrack.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Biederman waves goodbye. Preston makes his way down the hallway. Just then, Juice rounds the corner and walks towards Preston. Preston pulls up his backpack as he walks along. Preston looks on as Juice is distracted by a woman standing at the doorway of one of the offices in the hall. Suddenly, the woman pulls a cart out of the office, and Juice jumps out of the way, knocking Preston's backpack to the floor.
What's wrong with you, little boy?
I'm sorry.
You're messing up a view as good as all that.
I'm sorry.
What you doing out of school anyway, huh? You know you ought to be in school.
Juice holds up the backpack, and Preston tries to take it. Juice doesn't let go.
Go on and get up out of here before I decide to get upset. Hurry up.
Juice lets go of the backpack, and Preston runs off quickly. He rushes down the spiral staircase, hurries through the lobby past the Atlas statue, bursts through the front door, and sprints down the sidewalk. The clock in Mr. Biederman's office ticks 1 minute past 1 p.m., and the doors open. Juice walks in. He saunters over to the desk, and Mr. Biederman looks up confused.
How may I help you, sir?
Big Juice, man. Quigley sent.
Juice sits down. He leans back and puts his feet up on the table. Mr. Biederman slowly smiles.
Everything is fine. Not to worry.
Meanwhile, Preston runs down the street happily, jumping in the air with joy. Back in Mr. Biederman's office, he grins at Juice.
The eagle has landed.
Juice looks at him, confused. Meanwhile, Preston runs down the street, ecstatic.
The horse is in the barn.
Mr. Biederman grins at Juice. Juice is still very confused. Preston runs, jumping through the air victoriously.
The chicken is in the pot.
Look here, man, I don't know nothing about no eagles landing and all of that. I don't know nothing about no horses running through the barn. And I certainly don't know nothing about no chickens being in a pot, you understand? But if you do me a favor, have to be so kind as to cash this check right there, I could be on my way.
Wait. Quigley sent you?
That's right.
What about the kid?
What kid, man? I don't know.
The kid with the backpack!
Look here, man. I'm tired of telling you this. But if you don't give me the money for that check, I guarantee you there's a bullet with your name on it in this chamber.
The kid with the backpack! The kid with the backpack!
Mr. Bitterman rushes out from behind his desk to the door. Meanwhile, Quigley is in the big castle house with a lady and an old couple.
150 grand cash. It's my last offer, guys.
You're our realtor. You tell us. This offer is so much less than our asking price.
Well, Mrs. Appleton, it really is a buyer's market.
Do you mind if we take a minute to think about it?
Listen, I got all the time in the world, sweetheart.
He kisses the realtor.
Too bad I can't say the same for you two.
Meanwhile, Preston enters his house holding the signboard of realtor Betty J. Back in the castle house.
Applesauce, what's with the long face, my man? I bought your pad, you got some cash. It's a beautiful thing. Su casa is soon to be mi casa, you know what I'm saying?
Quigley puts his feet up on the table.
Yeah.
Preston picks up the phone and dials, leaving the phone on the table. He sticks a floppy disk into the computer and types vigorously. He looks up the pricing for the castle house on the Realty website. Then, he opens the speech software. The phone rings in the castle house, and Betty J picks it up.
Hello?
Good afternoon.
Preston types into the speech software.
I'd like to make a cash offer on your house.
Someone else wants to make an offer.
Hey,
what? On this dump?
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Quigley stands up, annoyed, as Betty J puts the phone on speaker.
160.
What kind of hustle is this? And what's with your voice, pal?
Sore throatitis.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. 170 right now, cash. I walk away, you take it or leave it right now.
Ask the boss.
It's closing cost.
180.
Top that, sucker.
Plus closing cost.
190, darling. Top
Preston,
that.
Preston, honey, I have a few errands to run. I'll be back by 2.
Okay, bye, Mom.
Preston quickly covers the phone until Mother leaves. Then he hurriedly types again.
200.
Mother comes back.
Just to be safe. Make that 3.
Mom, you're killing me on this deal.
Come on. Are you telling me we're going to sit here listen to some talking box with a robot voice? What is this?
300 it is.
Are you prepared to top 300?
No, I don't think I'm prepared to top 300 out of your mind. We had a deal here. Are you realtors just a bunch of crooks? Is that it? What's going on with you people?
Well, I am sorry you feel that way, but I have an offer on the table of 300.
We'll take it.
Sold.
Preston punches the air victoriously.
You probably won't live to enjoy it.
Quigley pats Betty J on the cheek before storming off angrily.
Just one thing, sir. What is your name?
My name is Preston.
Preston types. He stops, looking up. Then quickly presses the delete button. Preston thinks for a moment. He scans the room, and his gaze finally lands on the name of the computer.
Bingo.
Grinning, Preston begins to type again.
Macintosh.
My name is Macintosh.
Well, congratulations, Mr. Macintosh. You have a house.
Yes!
Preston happily jumps up in the air and then turns around and does a cartwheel. He throws the bag of money on his bed and jumps on top of it. He opens the bag and pulls out handfuls of cash, throwing them up in the air. The money rains down on him. Preston lays down on his bed, grinning, and then buries his face in the money happily.
Money!
Later, Quigley and Juice are in Mr. Bitterman's office.
You did what with my money?
You're not gonna believe this. He gave all your money to a little old bitty boy.
That was my nest egg. That's all I had to start a new life. I worked hard to steal that money, Bitterman! You gave it to some zit-faced little kid!
Now, wait a minute. I seen the kid. His hand looked pretty smooth.
The boy had a check signed by you.
I didn't write a check to anybody except for this genius here.
Hey, now, hold on a minute. I'm not the one who cashed a check for $1 million. That was this man right here.
Had your signature.
I said I didn't write it. You gave me the checkbook. I put it in my pocket. I got in my car.
I can't feel my legs.
Calm down. I've got a surveillance photo of the boy. We'll find him in no time.
Oh, I can't see a thing. I recognize him. I know him anywhere.
It's upside down.
Quigley looks up at Juice annoyed. He turns to Mr. Bitterman and stands up.
All right. So where are you going to find a kid, Mr. Family Man?
Mr. Bitterman backs up.
Newspapers.
What, you want me to advertise? Is that it?
No. They have listings. Family activities. Where things where kids go. See?
Fine. You're going to help me find him. You understand? Dead or alive.
Mr. Bitterman nods.
Let's get out of here.
Quigley and Juice turn to leave.
Well, don't think you ain't coming around.
Shay is at her desk. She looks around to make sure no one is watching.
Somebody's in there with Bitterman now.
She speaks into a pin on her jacket.
A couple of guys I've never seen before. They've just left. The money laundering is definitely on again.
In a surveillance vehicle, a man sits and listens. Meanwhile, Preston scans a phone book and finds the number of Limousines Unlimited. He dials.
You have the car key?
No, you have the car key.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you make sure you know who stays grounded.
And he goes to bed early.
You got it, Pops.
Mother and father give Damien instructions before they leave the house. Preston watches from the window of his room as they get into the car and pull out of the driveway. A limousine pulls up in front of the castle house. Preston sneaks out of his window and climbs down a ladder. He walks over to the limousine, backpack over his shoulder. He walks up to the driver.
Excuse me.
Sorry, kid. Nobody famous. Do you want to take your mitts off the car, please? I'm waiting for a client here.
But I'm your client.
Oh, right, yeah. And I'm Madonna. Sorry, kid. The boss doesn't like me taking baseball cards as payment. So if you want to ride in this, you need some buckaroos, buccarinis, some moolah, some dinero, some money, some frog skins, much similar to the money you've given me. In fact, identical to the money you've given me right now.
I was just kidding about being Madonna. My name's Henry.
Hi, Henry. I'm Preston.
Preston, good
Preston
to see you.
Preston Waters.
Yes, nice to meet you. Hop in. Go ahead.
Preston jumps in and Henry closes the door.
I didn't actually mean hop in, but... So, where to, boss?
Well, Henry, let me go buy some stuff.
Yes, sir.
Henry speeds off down the street. The limousine makes its way into the city. Henry opens the doors of a store and Preston walks in as people turn to stare. Preston looks around in shock, mouth gaping open as he stares at all the clothes on the mannequins. He approaches the sales staff, but each of them walk away, unwilling to help. He walks back to Henry, who bends down to listen. Henry throws cash on the counter. A salesman picks it up, flips through the notes, and looks up with a smile. Preston tries on a pair of sunglasses, sitting in a couch as the store workers flock around him with various merchandise to look at. He takes a sip of coffee, spits it out. The store workers bring him ties and suspenders to look at. The cashier calculates his bill as Preston tries on outfits and dances. The limousine makes its way down a well-lit street at night. Preston is in a TV store as he runs up and down the rows of screens. Henry walks about with the store assistant, pointing at the various screens. The two sit in a room with headphones on as Preston controls the speakers with a remote. Henry drives down the street as Preston pops up from the sunroof and waves about happily. The two are sitting in massage chairs, and they wiggle around. Preston runs through the store with a water gun. Henry pops up and squirts water at Preston, who shoots back. The store manager looks at them angrily. Preston accidentally squirts water at the manager. Preston and Henry cycle down the aisle of a different store on a tandem bike. The store employees run behind them, carrying all of Preston's shopping. Preston and Henry are at a tennis court. They grab rackets and try to hit the balls being shot at them. Unable to keep up, Henry picks up Preston to use him as a human shield. Preston walks into an indoor basketball court. A sign reads, "No players over 4 feet tall on this court." Henry looks about sheepishly, then ducks and enters the court. The two play hoops, cheering each other on. They strap on skates and zoom through the store as store employees follow them with shopping carts full of stuff. The limousine drives down the street.
Ice cream! Turn around, Henry!
Oh, right on.
Henry makes a sharp turn and pulls up in front of the ice cream store. Preston sits in the back of the car with a big tub of ice cream on his lap. He sprays whipped cream on it.
Hey, thanks a lot for the great watch.
You're welcome.
Hey, you know, this guy, what is it, McIntyre? McIntosh, yeah. If you don't mind me asking, where does he get his money?
Preston stops eating to think for a moment.
Well, he doesn't get it. He just has it.
Well, why does he get a kid like you to go out and buy all his stuff for him?
He never has it.
real childhood. So now that he's really, really rich, he can have all the fun that he couldn't have when he was a kid.
Oh.
You know.
Oh, I see. So he didn't have any fun when he was a kid, but now he's old and he's got money. You're a kid having the fun for him now that he couldn't have when he was a kid.
Later, Shay is jogging down the road.
Stop! Pull over, Henry! It's Shay! Stop! Hey!
Ah! You scared me.
Sorry.
Preston pops his head out of the sunroof.
Preston, right?
You've got a good memory.
Great kid.
Thanks.
Very nice. Very nice.
Nice wheels.
Oh, this? It's my boss, Mr. McIntosh. Do you want to ride?
No, thanks. I'm out of shape.
Not from where I'm sitting, you aren't.
So, I'm thinking about coming into the bank tomorrow and opening my account.
Wow, you got the $200 already?
Just about.
All right, well, see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
Henry drives off as Preston ducks back into the limousine. Shay jogs up to a parked van.
Is that him? Is that Bitterman?
No, some kid who came into the bank today.
Nice wheels for a kid.
Yeah, it says it belongs to his boss. Guy named McIntosh.
She takes papers
McIntosh.
From the man in the driver's seat.
What are we gonna see, baby?
She leaves. The next day, a number of trucks stand outside the castle house with men unloading boxes of soda cans, cookies, toys, and other goods. Preston's father pulls out of his driveway, coming to a halt as a truck blocks his way. He gets out annoyed.
You know, I got work to do too, you know?
Where am I supposed to go? You see an opening?
The truck driver points to the trucks in front of him.
Hey, what's the hold up here?
Preston's father runs over to check.
Hey, move it!
He walks out onto the street to see trucks parked everywhere, one after the other. He stops and looks around angrily.
This is absolute madness! Yo, who's in charge here?
The truck driver points to the castle house. Preston stands on the roof, shouting out commands. His father stands below, looking up in shock.
Preston?
Hi, Dad!
What's going on here?
Moving in!
Who is moving in?
McIntosh!
Who's McIntosh?
I'll be right with you, Dad. Come on, boys, and don't have all day!
Father looks around in shock.
Okay, Mr. Waters, the security system is all in place. Excuse me. This is the remote. Here are the instructions, all right? We appreciate Mr. McIntosh's business. Here you go, pal. What's with all the security?
Mr. McIntosh says you can never be too paranoid, Dad.
Well, yeah, who is McIntosh?
I work for him. He's paying me.
Yeah, but who is he? I never met him.
You haven't met him?
No, I haven't met him.
He's heard about you.
Really?
Yeah, about work and stuff. Really good things.
Well, his stuff is blocking our driveway.
Yeah. Boys!
All the men stop and look at Preston. They hurry out of the way, clearing a path. Father watches in shock.
All set, Dad.
He turns and walks away as his father watches him. Later, Preston puts on his helmet sitting in his go-kart as Henry waves flags at the starting point. A go-kart track has been set up in the backyard, and Preston races around happily, driving past bouncy houses and a batting cage. In a harness, Preston jumps up and down on a bungee trampoline while Henry pushes him back and forth. He flips upside down in the air as Henry cheers him on. Henry and Preston play an arcade boxing game. Preston lands punch after punch, and Henry pretends to fall backwards as Preston knocks him out in the game. Preston cheers as he wins. He jumps from a trampoline onto a bouncy Velcro wall as Henry looks on. Henry tries the same but fails again and again. Preston cheers him on as he tries again and again, but he ends up knocking the whole bouncy Velcro wall over. Later, Preston sits at a desk in front of a TV screen and a computer. He spins around in his chair and puts his feet up on the desk. A name card on the desk reads, Mr. McIntosh. Later, in the bank, Shay scans a $100 bill. The letters FBI appear in the blacklight.
No, I was wondering who can spend cash like that these days.
Oh, yeah. Man's name is McIntosh.
McIntosh?
Mm-hmm. He just moved here. Apparently loaded.
Apparently.
Betty J gives her more bills. Meanwhile, Juice, Quigley, and Mr. Bitterman are at an amusement park.
You don't feel good? How do you think I felt when you gave away my $1 million, huh?
Juice, see anybody looks like him?
Oh, yeah, he looks like him. She looks like him right there. Way back over there. Oh, there goes his little twin brother. You don't give me one picture and expect me to find him out of all these kids? Must be crazy. I'm gonna get on a water slide. I'm trying to sweat.
Hey, mister, you know where the refreshment stands are?
Quigley nonchalantly pops the kid's balloon, and he runs off crying. Back at the castle house, Preston sits on a swing hanging from the ceiling, shooting foam darts at three men who stand below him. He plays more video games on a wall made of TVs while men hover around him, fitting him for clothes. He stops to see the security feed that shows Henry walking in with Butch.
Says he knows you, boss.
Oh, well, look, just throw him out.
Henry carries Butch away.
Preston!
In the backyard, Preston slides down the water slide into the pool. Later, in the pool, a radio-controlled toy boat pulls up next to an inflatable raft, carrying a drink for Preston, who sips it just as Shay walks in.
Hiya. I didn't expect to see you here.
What you doing here?
I came by to see Mr. McIntosh.
No, he's in a meeting.
That's okay, I'll wait. I just really need to see him.
He's in meetings all day.
All day?
Swamped.
Hey, I miss you at the bank. I thought you were going to come by and see me about opening up an account.
I had to work.
Wow, this is where you work?
She looks around.
Not too shabby.
Comfortable.
I brought an application. Do you still want to open up an account with me?
Yeah.
Okay, do you have your deposit?
I'll go get it.
Okay, great.
Preston quickly jumps out of the raft into the pool. He runs into his office, grabbing cash off the table, and enters the water slide. Shay takes pictures of the house and backyard. Preston slides down the water slide, crashes into the water, and emerges, handing Shay two soaked bills.
That's amazing!
Sorry, just printed it.
$200. Looks like you fell into some money, huh?
I make a living.
Yeah, well, I guess Mr. McIntosh. He knows a good man when he sees one. Will he be opening up an account with us?
Maybe.
Yeah? Great. You know, I'd love to meet him. How's tonight?
Tonight. What's tonight?
Tonight's Wednesday.
Wednesday. I'm sorry. He's busy.
Too bad.
But I'm not. Oh, I handle all his financial affairs.
You do?
Not all of them, but I could tell you a lot about him. Sort of like a pre-meeting.
And he wouldn't mind?
Hasn't complained yet.
Okay. I'll come by around 8.
Okay. Wait, I could send a car for you.
Okay, cool. It's a date then. Bye-bye.
A date? Date? I've never been on...
Later, Preston chats with Henry.
You know they call me downtown? The Babemeister.
Henry looks proud as he sips his drink.
Okay. I'm going to tell you about the real deal on dating, which I know, okay? First of all, women love a great body. They love, look at this bod.
Henry flexes his muscles.
See, you know, of course, you know, you got a bod now that's of a Greek god, really. Think about it. I mean, women like you to have a good bod because they want to feel they're protected. You might have to fight some guy, you know, but not with those arms. You don't want to hit a guy with those arms because those pythons would take a guy's head off. Seriously, you're buff, but we're going to get you chiseled, okay? Oh, wait, whoa. I'm having a vision here of a date, the perfect date for you guys.
Steak Kevin!
Ho-ho, my little friend, you really have the hots for this one, huh? Hey, you know, if you really want to go upscale, that all-you-can-eat salad bar, women love that. Take some with you, you know? Line your pockets with plastic bags. Put the food in there, because it doesn't say all-you-can-eat here. Does it say here on the sign? I don't think so. So you take something back for later. A little snackaroo. Oh, women love that. You get home and you got a pocket full of hot wings, there's nothing more that impresses a woman. Get yourself some flowers, get yourself a great body, some nice hair, some good clothes, a car, and learn to say words like non-committal. You are a date and a half, pal.
Later, Henry and Preston are in a bouncy boxing ring in the backyard. They bounce around punching each other. Henry keeps missing and falling over as Preston dodges each one of his punches. Finally, Preston holds up his arms in victory and Henry lies down behind in defeat. Henry, with a drink and small electric fan in hand, watches Preston spin around in a human gyrosphere. Henry shoots foam darts at him as he continues to spin. Preston stands on the ground dizzily for a moment before losing his balance and falling over. Henry and Preston play human bowling, with Preston in the ball and Henry pushing him to knock over oversized bowling pins. Henry and Preston, wearing sumo wrestler suits, bow to each other from either side of the mat. They waddle to the center and begin to wrestle, knocking each other over. Getting up, they wrestle again. They run around, chasing each other and falling over. Finally, they both fall over and lay on the mat, rolling around and wiggling their feet. Later, Preston is in a suit as he sits at the dinner table with his family, playing with a toy.
Why are you dressed like a game show host?
Going out tonight.
Just a minute, young man. You're still grounded.
But it's for Mr. McIntosh.
I don't care. McIntosh may have a pile of money, but he doesn't decide when my son is or isn't grounded.
But it's for my job.
Your job is to be grounded.
Grounded.
So much for playing 4-4-2.
Father looks up from his plate.
What do you know about plan 442?
Well, it's the investment plan you've been working on. Your prospectus.
Prospectus? What are you doing going through my work?
Well, I didn't want to say what I told Mr. McIntosh about your plan 442, and he was very, very interested. Yep, I promised him I'd bring a copy of it tonight and show it to him, but I didn't want to tell you just in case you got your hopes all up and,
No, of course not. Let me get you a fresh copy of the prospectus.
No, I'll get a copy of it, sweetheart.
Prospectus.
Preston grins. Mother hands father the prospectus.
Here.
Oh, thank you.
Father places it in front of Preston on the table.
Hurry up, go. Go. You want the car keys?
Nah, that's okay, Dad.
Preston stands up and pats his dad on the shoulder.
I don't drive yet.
You want me to drive you?
No, it's okay.
You know, I still haven't met McIntosh. Maybe I should go over and meet
him. No!
Why not?
You ruin everything! He has a date tonight, and he's very nervous about it.
I guess I can see him first thing in the morning.
Oh, I don't know, Dad. I mean, I'd be up pretty late.
Father nods.
Lucky dog.
Mother rolls her eyes and turns to glare at father.
Later, toads.
At the restaurant, a waiter walks past with a bottle of champagne as Preston holds out Shay's chair for her to sit.
Thank you. That's enough.
Oh,
sorry.
He walks around the table and sits in the chair across from Shay.
I can't believe Mr. McIntosh went to all this trouble. This place is great.
Mr. McIntosh has been eating here for years.
Oh, yeah? I thought he just moved here.
There was a tangerino where I used to.
Preston opens up his napkin with flair, smiling at Shay. He takes a gulp of water and gargles.
Compliments of the chef for Mr. Waters. And his lovely guest.
The waiter places plates of food in front of them and walks away.
They look like lobsters, only weenie.
Shay looks at her plate and then up at Preston.
Oh.
Preston reaches down and brings up a box, handing it to Shay.
Mr. McIntosh wanted you to have this too.
Oh, thanks.
She gingerly opens the box.
Oh, wow.
Inside is a gold necklace with a heart-shaped pendant.
This is beautiful. Oh. But I can't accept this from you.
It's for Mr. McIntosh.
Why?
Just a little business gift. I mean, it's deductible, isn't it?
I'm not really sure, but it's way too expensive.
Mr. McIntosh has $1 million.
You know, $1 million doesn't buy all that much these days.
Do you think you should have asked for more?
What exactly does he do, anyway?
Oh, little of this, little of that. You know.
No, I'm afraid I don't. Is he an entrepreneur?
No, he's American. Very secretive. He has some questions for you, too.
Okay. Shoot.
Are you married?
No.
What's the shortest guy you ever dated?
I'm not really sure.
The youngest?
You know, these are pretty personal questions.
Well, Mr. McIntosh is very interested in you.
He is?
He's never met anybody like you before.
He's never met me before, period.
Technically, no, but he's been thinking a lot about you lately.
He has?
Yep.
Preston proudly leans back in his chair, toppling over and pulling the tablecloth along with him.
Are you okay?
Preston picks up a lobster off his face and throws it across the room.
Hamburger.
Shay nods her head smilingly.
I love hamburgers.
Meanwhile, Quigley, Juice, and Mr. Bitterman ask around.
Never saw this kid before in my life.
This is a waste of time.
Later, Shay and Preston eat hamburgers by a fountain.
What's so special about this place?
You'll see.
Come on, tell me.
Okay.
You gonna tell me?
Come with me.
All right.
They walk onto a square patch of the ground that has many holes in it.
Where are you taking me?
You'll see.
See what?
Okay, get in the middle. Okay, here? Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Fountains erupt all around them.
Okay, now.
The two run around, dodging the fountains that are shooting up unexpectedly. They run back and forth, holding hands and laughing as water shoots out of the ground. Shay reaches out to hold Preston's hand as they run through the water. He lets go and runs ahead as she chases after him, splashing water at him from behind. Happily, they cheer and play in the fountains. They begin to dance as Preston spins her around. Finally, the fountain stops. A crowd is gathered, and the two bow as the people applaud. Meanwhile, Quigley, Juice, and Mr. Bitterman walk along a fountain pond.
This is a great idea, Bitterman. Where's all the kids, huh?
It's late at night. I mean, all the little boys and girls are tucked in bed. What do you expect?
What I expect is when I give someone $1 million and I come back a day later, I find $1 million. That's what I expect.
I'm not a magician.
No, you can make it disappear, you just can't get it back, right?
I'm telling you, what can I?
If y'all want a kiss so bad, there go one right over there.
That's the little boy from the bank.
Juice points over at Shay and Preston while they take a bow. Quigley looks at Mr. Bitterman and Juice. He quietly tiptoes over. Preston looks up and smiles at Shay. He suddenly notices Quigley, Juice, and Mr. Bitterman approaching.
Oh, all right, to the limo!
What?
All right, to the limo!
All right, come on.
They chase after Preston and Shay. Just then, the fountains erupt with water, and the three men slip and crash down on the ground. Preston and Shay jump in the limo, and Henry speeds off. The fountains stop, and the men get up. They look at the speeding car.
He got away again! I don't believe this! He got away again!
As they watch the car speed away, water bursts out from the fountains once again, engulfing them. Meanwhile, inside the limo...
This was the most fun. I haven't done anything like this since I was a little kid.
Me neither.
Thank you so much.
When can I see you again?
Well, I really have to spend some time with my job, you know, right now.
Well, I'm having a party. On Friday. Can you come? It's for Mr. McIntosh.
Shay nods.
It could be for your business, sort of.
Mr. McIntosh will really be there?
It is his birthday.
Okay. Well, great. It's a date, then. Oh, I'm getting out of here.
Henry pulls over.
It was really fun.
Shay looks at Preston and smiles.
I had such a good time.
Me too.
Good night, Preston.
Good night, Shay.
She holds out her palm. Preston taps it, and she shakes his hand.
See you later.
Shay smiles as she grabs her purse and gets out.
Good night, ma'am.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Confused, Preston watches Shay walk away. The limo drives away. Preston lays stretched out on the back seat with a big grin. Shay looks on, smiling, and then turns to leave.
So, you're having a party Friday?
Oh, yeah, it's Mr. McIntosh's birthday.
Oh, I thought you said it was your birthday Friday.
Well, we're gonna have a joint party for the both of us.
Oh, well, so it's a good thing it worked out that your birthday's around the same time. Hey, you wanna move that horse? Come on, what is this, Bonanza?
Later, outside Preston's house, Henry gets out and walks over to open the back door.
Here we are, home at last.
Thanks, Henry.
My pleasure.
Hey!
Preston Waters. You know what you got, pal?
What?
S-T-Y-L-E. Stop.
Preston turns and walks towards the house.
Take it easy, man. Thanks.
Up in his room, Preston sits in front of the computer, typing.
McIntosh and I are having the biggest birthday party ever.
Preston finishes typing and grins at the computer screen. He turns off the lights. The next day, Father sits alone at the table, eating breakfast. He looks around expectantly, and then looks behind him. He continues to eat.
Honey, where's Preston?
He's working for McIntosh.
Oh. Where's Damien and Ralph?
They're working for McIntosh, too.
Oh. Have you met McIntosh?
No, I thought you met him.
No, I haven't met him.
Well, I haven't met him either.
Father looks puzzled. Later, at the Castle House, Preston practices baseball with the help of a pitching machine inside a batting cage.
Keep him coming. Mr. McIntosh wants me to get plenty of practice.
Damien makes a face as he scrubs Preston's go-kart.
Oh. Watch where you're hitting those!
Quit messing around. McIntosh is watching.
Where? We've still never seen him.
Just get back to work. He's watching.
The limousine is parked outside, as people stand on the street and discuss, gesturing towards the Castle House. Inside, Preston is playing a virtual reality game.
Hey, Preston! Your party planner's here again!
The party planner woman taps his headset. He takes it off and looks at her.
Mr. McIntosh's birthday is going to be the event of the century. We're going to make the front page from coast to coast. Oh, we are so lucky, lucky, lucky!
Now, what kind of food does Mr. McIntosh like?
I don't know.
And who are his friends? Do you have guest list?
I don't think so.
You know, Dewdrop, I think I should meet him because I'm going to need a little cash deposit.
Oh. Here.
Oh, yes, you do have money, darling. You can't be careful walking around with this much money, darling. Somebody could just rip you right off. Now, you know what? This first $10,000 is going to be the deposit. Now, of course, I'll get the balance at the party, and Mr. McIntosh is good for it. I am just so looking forward to meeting him.
Who isn't?
Waiters, security, guest list, paparazzi.
Oh, and Yvonne?
Yes?
Remember, it's Preston.
Whatever.
Preston switches on the security camera feed on the wall of TVs.
Hey, Henry.
Oh, 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 it's Attack of the 50-Foot Chauffeur from hell.
I was just wondering if you wanted to play some video games.
Oh, man, I wish you'd have said something. I can't. Promised some friends I was going to meet him in a while.
Okay, no problem.
I'll tell you what, I'll drop you over at one of your friends' place on the way over and you can have some fun there.
Nah. Maybe I'll go to the park.
All right, it's up to you. Hey, Preston, is my tie straight?
Well, it looks perfect.
All right, later.
Henry waves his hat and walks off. Outside in the bouncy boxing ring, Preston punches the wall. He runs back and forth wearing the gloves. He bounces off the sides and runs back again. He flays his arms and pretends to box by himself. He slows down, giving up. His arms hang loosely at his sides. He looks down sadly. He walks off towards the house, slowly. Later, kids are playing at the park. Girls play catch with a ball, and some boys run around chasing each other. Preston cycles up with his backpack on. He looks over to the swings where kids play, pushing each other up and down. He looks around to see some other kids sitting with their mother on a park bench, watching the girls play catch. Meanwhile, Quigley, Juice, and Mr. Bitterman drive up in a car. They spot Preston.
There it is. That's the park up ahead.
Hey, where all these kids come from?
Keep driving and maybe someday I'll tell you.
Why did you hit a kid anyway?
I didn't hit a kid. I ran over his bicycle.
You know, I had a dog once that got hit by a train.
Thanks for sharing, Juice.
Old King Cole, we called him. He was a merry old soul.
The three men look at Preston on his bike. The car makes a sudden swerve, charging towards Preston, who turns to see them fast approaching. He quickly starts to pedal through the park.
You go, babe. Are you sure?
Just drive!
Is this a good idea? Carl, do you think this is a good idea?
The car crashes into a signboard that reads McIntosh Kids Park. Preston bikes off quickly. The car chases Preston as he bikes and zigzags along the park. As Juice drives alongside Preston, Quigley reaches out of the window, leans over, and tries to grab his backpack. As Quigley reaches out, Preston pedals faster, and Quigley grabs a few dollar bills. He ducks back into the car, angrily. Preston turns and looks at them before going down a flight of rocky stairs.
Get out and follow him on foot. Go! Go!
To me, follow him off foot. I look like a bloodhound, a professional tracker. Or
Juicy, listen to me. If we don't get that.
Preston bounces down the stairs. The cycle swerves, and he falls off.
Come on.
Juice reluctantly gets out of the car and chases after Preston on foot. Preston sees Juice approaching.
There you go. Come here, boy.
He quickly gets up and pulls up the bike, running off as Juice reaches the foot of the stairs. His backpack has been left behind. The men reverse the car. Preston cycles down the path quickly and suddenly realizes he doesn't have his backpack. Juice tries to sneak up on Preston from behind a tree, but Preston cycles off. Juice loses his balance and falls into a pond. Juice stands up in the water angrily.
Leave this! Kill that kid when I fall. I'm not getting paid for this.
Meanwhile, the car drives around a bend. Preston pedals harder as he looks back to see Juice running towards him. Juice pushes a jogger out of the way, and the man falls into the pond. Juice continues to chase Preston as he gains speed. Quigley spots Preston. He drives parallel to him on another road. Preston looks over to see the car, and then turns to see Juice. Quigley drives around the bend, blocking Preston's path. Preston takes a detour over a bridge to avoid the car. Juice rushes to the car.
Just ran through this whole entire park.
Fine, get in the car. Do not blow chunks in my car.
I'm cool. Are you sure?
Juice gets into the car and quickly drives off. Preston comes to a halt and looks over to see his backpack in the middle of the park. Preston notices a man picking up the backpack. The man grabs a wad of cash from it. Immediately, Preston cycles towards him and yanks the bag away from him. Quigley drives up to the man as well and swerves the car around him. Preston cycles down the park as fast as he can with the car right on his tail. Quigley sticks his head out the window. Preston looks back and pedals faster. Quigley steers the car angrily. Preston pedals up a ramp and onto a stage in the park. The car follows. People dive out of the way. Preston cycles off the stage like a stuntman, sailing over a row of parked cars. The car follows, flies off the stage, and falls directly on top of the row of cars. Preston makes a perfect landing. The men are stranded in the smashed car. Preston stops and looks back triumphantly.
Yes!
He pedals off.
Now that's a display of fine driving right there.
You know, Carl, it might be easier just to steal another $1 million.
Later, Butch is cycling down the road. He spots a $20 bill on the ground. He stops to pick it up. A shoe steps on the bill. He looks up to see Quigley, Juice, and Mr. Bitterman standing in front of him.
Well, 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 if it isn't the world's youngest personal injury attorney.
You know, you're in a lot of trouble today, little man.
Yeah, because today I have been drinking vodka.
Juice and Quigley grab him by the ears.
Never mind.
Later, a group of people are setting up a stage in Preston's backyard. Preston watches them.
Get those golden gloves off and thank you.
Henry stands beside him.
Love.
Yvonne comes over.
What do you think? Ta-da! Is this to die or what?
Oh, yeah, sure it's so. Ta-da.
Wait to show it to Mr. McIntosh. Come on, honey. Let's see what they did with that ice.
Is this to die for or what? Where did she find her? Oh, man.
What is this costing?
Preston looks over at the stage.
I don't know. What do you think it should cost?
Lots.
Meanwhile.
Kid, why don't you just tell me what I need to know? I'm a good guy.
Okay. How good are you going to be to me? In round numbers.
I don't think you get the picture, Sonny.
Quigley, Juice, and Mr. Bitterman laugh.
Maybe you need a better view.
He dangles Butch from the top of a tall building.
Ah! Preston Waters, 1508 Oak Street, Hillsdale, Indiana.
Thank you.
Juice grabs him. Later.
Is something wrong?
No, not at all.
Shay looks at Preston.
Is Mr. McIntosh around?
No.
But he will be here tonight.
Yeah.
In person. Okay. I'll see you tonight.
Okay.
You're looking good.
She ruffles his hair, smiling, and then walks away as Damien and Ralph walk towards Preston.
Baby brother comes into his own.
The little weasel, he sure knows how to get a girlfriend.
Not too bad he picked a fortune hunter.
Little love pilot, shot down in flames by a
gold digger.
By what?
Gold digger. Someone who's only after money? I know women, and that one's after McIntosh's cold, hard cash.
Well, for your information, me and Shay already went on a date, and she had one fantastic time, boys.
Oh, yes. Every second she was getting closer and closer to Mr. McIntosh.
Shut up!
Just answer me this. Did she ever, ever, just once, come by without saying, "Meanwhile, I wonder if I could see Mr. McIntosh"? She's a gold digger, man. She just wants McIntosh's money.
Yeah.
Preston punches Damien's arm and walks off. Damien punches Ralph.
She wants a guy with money.
Yeah.
Not some little kid with an empty piggy bank.
At night, big spotlights are turned on, and the castle house is decorated with balloons and a banner that reads, "Happy Birthday, Mr. McIntosh." Doormen in red vests walk over to the cars and let people out. Preston watches from the roof as guests walk in. Preston looks down for a while and then turns to walk off. Inside his office, he sighs.
You ever know any gold diggers?
Man, have I. I hate them. They're the worst. The way I look at it, you know, anybody who is your friend because you have money is not your friend at all. That's it. You know what they say about gold?
You as the gold makes the rules?
No. A fool and his gold are soon parted.
What does that mean?
Fool and his gold are soon parted. Those old sayings, man. I don't get them. I don't even know really what that means. You ever heard that more than one way to skin a cat? Have you heard that one? Who skins cats? Why would you skin a cat? And there is not more than one way to skin a cat. There is only one way to skin a cat. You grab the cat, you rip the skin off the cat. What is a number two way? Think about it. What do you put a hose up the cat's butt? He gets so bloated that he skins himself? What does he have a little piece of Velcro under his butt there? We just like un-Velcro him? No. Kill two birds with one stone. You heard that one? Do you know anyone who has even killed one bird with one stone? Kids try it all the time. You can't hit a bird with a stone.
Unless you got a big, huge stone and they're little tiny baby birds. Then, beep, beep, beep.
Dead. Fool and his gold are soon parted. I guess it means that if you're a fool, your gold or your money is soon gone. And once it's gone, it is out of there. It is history. It is dust. It is vapor. It is no more. You are living in Brokesville. Unless you have McIntosh's kind of money in that.
What if you don't?
Well, I guess then you find out who your real friends are.
Henry fixes his suit.
Man, we look good.
Preston fixes his bow tie. Outside in the backyard, the party is in full swing as people walk around talking to each other and standing around the tables.
Everybody having a good time? Good, you are.
Yes, well, we are, darling. Wow, look at the balloons. This is great. Look at the ice sculpture over here.
Preston walks over to a table full of presents.
Hey, kid, don't touchy. Some Mr. McIntosh's. Go find your parents. Come on, get out of here. Go on.
Preston walks away, frowning. People hold their glasses up as a waiter pours champagne. Happily, they drink. Preston and Henry walk up to a short-haired woman.
Excuse me.
She turns.
Sorry.
Exactly, who are you looking for there, Preston?
Shay?
Gosh, no, I haven't seen her, but she'll be around. She'll be here somewhere. Come on, let's have a... Oh, man, look at...
Meanwhile, in a surveillance van...
So we bring the kid in, agreed?
If Preston says McIntosh is going to be there, McIntosh will be there. But you don't make a move until I give you the signal. Understood?
We got 8 men ready to go in there and nail him the second he shows up. We close this deal tonight.
Shay gets out of the van and closes the door. Back at the party, Preston and Henry stand by the food table.
Pizza, ice cream. What's going on here?
This could have been a pizza before it got run over by a couple trucks. It could have been. Oh, that looks tasty. Looks like something you'd find between your toes, doesn't it? He's sucking the life out of me! He's sucking the life out of me!
Shut up! Nobody's looking
at you. So what? Who cares? Come on, relax. Have a good time. She'll show up. Oh, there's Shay now. Ha! Just kidding. I was kidding you. Would you just relax? She'll be here. Man. Not at all what you thought it would be like, eh? Being rich, huh?
Henry smells the food. Preston sneaks away.
Preston? Preston?
Henry turns around, looking for Preston. He looks on, frowning.
Ice cream.
You, Preston! Now, where is our mystery man? It's time for Mr. McIntosh to make his appearance. You see, I like to give my employers their bills directly. That way, if they have any questions or heart attacks or something.
Well, I'll give it to him.
Fine.
Yvonne hands Preston an envelope. Preston opens it up and looks at it.
$100,000.
Sweetheart, I know this seems like a whole lot of money to normal people like me and you, but to a man like McIntosh, this is just pennies. Now you get up there and get me my money.
Go get your money.
Later, Preston sits at his desk in his office, typing away at the computer. He looks up at the screen. Outside, Preston's father gets out of his car. He walks towards the house, back in the office.
Transaction not possible. Insufficient funds. Current balance, $332.17. Transaction not possible. Insufficient funds.
Transaction
not possible.
No, please, God.
Preston spins around in his chair and rushes to his backpack. He opens it. He searches the backpack. There are just a few dollar bills. Meanwhile, Preston's father walks up the stairs, looking around.
It's gone. It's all gone.
Preston stares up at the computer screen in horror. His father walks in.
Mr. McIntosh? Oh, sorry to bother you. It's Fred Waters. Preston's dad, I know you got a bash going on here, so I'll make it brief. But, I wanted to ask you a favor. You see, today is Preston's birthday, and if you see him, if you could send him home a little early.
Preston remains hidden while his father talks to the back of his enormous chair.
Now, lately, he's been working so hard. All of a sudden, money's become so important to him. I guess that's mostly my fault. You don't have kids, do you, Mr. McIntosh? Well, I'll tell you, it's very easy to make mistakes with him. I haven't always paid enough attention to my kids. I pushed him too hard, maybe. Especially Preston.
Tears roll down Preston's face.
I guess I expect more from him. He reminds me of myself at that age. I couldn't wait to grow up. I'm afraid he's missing out on his childhood.
Father nods, sadly.
So am I.
Tears brim in his eyes. Preston cries.
Well, thanks. I won't take up any more of your time. And we appreciate you sending Preston home early.
Father turns to leave.
Well, if he wants to come, that is.
I don't want to come home.
Thanks.
Preston nods.
Dad?
Preston turns to see the room is empty.
Dad?
He rushes out after his father.
Dad!
His father drives out the driveway just as Preston runs out the front door.
Dad!
Preston chases after him.
Your driver? He left a little while ago.
He left? You sure it was Henry?
Big guy, white limo. He's gone.
Thanks.
Preston turns and walks back, head held down.
Now I know who my friends are.
Inside the house, Shay looks around, searching.
Excuse me.
She walks past some people on the stairs. Up in his office, Preston sits on the floor, with his face held in his palms.
Mr. McIntosh?
Shay walks in.
Mr. McIntosh?
It's just me. Which one of us did you want?
I was looking for you, Preston.
Oh, good.
And Mr. McIntosh. Look, it's very, very important that I find Mr. McIntosh right now. Do you understand?
He's nowhere. He's just gone. I think you better leave, too.
Preston, you could be in danger.
Just go, okay? Get your necklace. Just take it and leave.
Preston gets up and storms off as Shay watches. Shay runs out of the house and looks around. She runs down the driveway and onto the street.
Riggs?
Quigley and Juice break down the front door of the Waters home. Butch and Mr. Bitterman follow them in.
Looks like no one's home.
Shut up, Bitterman.
Bitterman, where is he?
I don't know, but he might be down the street, and Mr. McIntosh is that his boss.
Quigley looks at Mr. Bitterman.
Come on.
Quigley drags Butch out, and Mr. Bitterman follows.
I do like what they have done with this color.
Juice looks around the house and walks out as well.
There you are, Puppy Butt. Did you get me my money?
McIntosh has disappeared.
What? Now, I am warning you, Tom Thumb. Don't you trifle with me. If I don't get paid, I will sue Mr. McIntosh for every dime he is worth.
Yvonne glares at Preston.
Well, be sure and tell me when you find him.
Preston walks off, and Yvonne storms past him to the stage.
Over. Quiet! Stop that play! Stop that music! Quiet! Attention! 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 Everybody, this party's over! Our host,
Preston gets on stage and grabs the mic from Yvonne. She storms off.
She's right.
Preston looks around at his guests.
I hate to tell you this, but there's been a terrible mistake. Nobody should have been invited. McIntosh is gone, and he's not coming back. So I think you should all leave too, so go. Go on.
Close down the bar! Come on, let's get out of here! Come on, Anton! Move it, move it! Come on, move it!
Preston watches as people scurry off. They pull off the decorations and banners and grab presents off the table. Preston watches sadly. As Yvonne grabs a glass from a guest, the woman pulls Yvonne's wig off. The lights, the security cameras, and the TV screens all go off. Preston sits sadly, with his face resting on his palms. He stares up at the TV screens that show static. His toys and gadgets are strewn all over the room.
Henry?
Preston gets up and runs towards the door.
Henry! I knew you'd come back.
He runs to the front door and pulls it open.
Henry!
Happy birthday. I'm here to blow out your candles.
Quigley pushes him into the house, walking in.
Get your hurry, kid. You got a big check to cash?
Yeah.
He closes the door behind him. He turns the key on the lock in such a way that he bends it. Preston struggles as Juice holds him.
What do you think, Juice?
Juice looks around.
Yeah, I like the pad. It looks real nice.
Can you handle it?
Oh, I like this.
Got the TV?
TV.
Drums?
Drums.
What kind of toys?
It got a little taste, a little flavor.
What's this thing here?
No, I don't think I've seen one of those before.
Preston, how you work this?
When you turn the knob...
Quigley smashes the toy on the ground.
You know, you really shouldn't let him in such a nice house as this. I mean, all your stuff could get broken.
Kid, where's McIntosh?
Nowhere.
He's nowhere. I'm going to ask you one more time.
Where is he?
He grabs Preston by the collar.
There is no McIntosh. I made him up. It was me the whole time.
Don't give me that. Who bought this house?
I did.
You? You outbid me?
Wait a minute. You trying to tell me that this little bitty boy right here outbids you with your own money?
Quigley glares at Juice.
Be a fly on the wall, okay, Juice? Listen, kid, you know it's illegal to take things that don't belong to you.
I know. I feel awful. Take me to the police.
Carl, don't do it. It's a trick. Get out of here. Son, I don't want to take you to the police. Just tell me, okay? Where's my money?
Quigley glares at Preston.
I spent it.
All of it?
All of it.
How could you spend $1 million in 6 days?
Preston's eyes well up.
You must not have been shopping lately.
Quigley walks away anxiously.
Carl, wait a minute. Maybe we're thinking about this McIntosh thing in the wrong way.
What are you talking about?
But you needed a new house, a new identity. Well, this kid, he's done it for you. I mean, McIntosh could run for mayor here.
Yeah, no, I kind of like the idea of that. Mayor Quigley.
No.
Yeah.
Mayor McIntosh. I like it.
Well, there's only one problem with that.
Preston quickly runs up the stairs. The three men chase after him.
Wait for me! I'm coming!
Preston runs into the office, locking the door. He turns and runs towards the water slide, jumping in. Juice breaks the door open and runs inside. They look around. Quigley spots the slide.
Where is he?
He went down there. Juice, go after him.
I ain't going down there.
Go on!
You're crazy, man. I ain't going down there.
Watch your head.
Come on, it's about 230.
Okay.
Quigley pushes Juice into the slide. The two men run to the door. Juice splashes into the water as the two men reach the edge of the pool.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Did you see him?
Oh, no, you did just push me in the pool like that.
Get out of there. Come on, we gotta find him.
Meanwhile, Preston pulls a lever, turning off all the lights. The men look around in the darkness, disoriented.
Peterman, act like you got a purpose in life. Go.
I think I'm experiencing chest pains.
Quigley signals Juice to go right. He gestures for Mr. Bitterman to go left. Quigley searches intently and then walks off towards the house. Mr. Bitterman picks up a plate of dessert from a table in the backyard and starts to eat. Quigley makes his way through the bushes, looking around carefully.
Juice!
Mr. Bitterman puts the plate down and rushes into the house, looking around. Meanwhile, Quigley climbs up some metal stairs. Mr. Bitterman walks into the TV room, looking around.
Little boy. Little boy from the bank.
He searches as he eats cake, walking into the dark TV room. Preston sits on top of the swing seat, hanging from the ceiling. He has his virtual reality goggles in his hand. Mr. Bitterman takes his glasses off, rubs his eyes, and looks at the wall of TV screens. Just then, Preston swings down and puts the goggles on Mr. Bitterman's head. He flays around, trying to get the goggles off as Preston pushes buttons. Preston smiles as Mr. Bitterman spins around. Preston laughs as Mr. Bitterman flays his arms and legs. Mr. Bitterman falls over, rolling on the ground. He stands up, but Preston runs and pushes him into the swing. Preston hoists the swing up to the ceiling. Meanwhile, Juice tiptoes around in the backyard, looking in at the batting cages. He sees a shadow in the back of the cage and jumps towards it. Preston, in the TV room, pushes a button on his remote control, illuminating the batting cage. He aims the pitching machine at Juice, and it fires baseballs in his direction.
What's that? Hey!
Just outside. Let's try a sinker. Another. Let's try a screwball. Turn.
Juice is hit again and again, and he jumps up and down in pain.
Screwball!
Preston pushes the buttons. Another ball knocks right into Juice, and he keels over in pain. As Preston plays with the remote, Quigley sneaks into the room. A ball hits Juice directly in the face while Preston watches. Juice falls over. Just then, Quigley sneaks up behind Preston. Quigley grabs Preston from behind, and Preston bites his arm. Quigley falls back in pain. Preston runs. Quigley rushes after him angrily. Preston runs out into the backyard, looks around, and then hides under one of the tables.
Preston! Come out, wherever you are.
Quigley walks over to the table where Preston is hiding. Preston sees his shadow approaching and crawls out the other side to hide under the next table. Quigley flips the first table as Preston crawls out from the second to hide beneath the third.
Spending somebody else's hard-earned money?
Quigley flips another table and looks around. He flips another table.
We need to have a chat.
He turns around and walks over to another table, tiptoeing through the mess of fallen dishes and food. He grabs a chair and holds it above his head as he walks towards another table.
Preston, I'm not mad anymore. I know you're sorry. Come on, bud.
He holds the chair in the air, ready to strike.
Yes.
He puts the chair down, reaches out, and flips the table over.
Bonzo!
Preston swings down from a tree, wearing his boxing gloves. He punches Quigley in the head. Quigley falls back and lands inside the life-size bowling ball. Preston locks it.
Don't leave me! Oh, where am I going? Oh.
The ball rolls half a turn. Preston looks back and then walks off, leaving Quigley stuck upside down. Quigley shakes the ball angrily.
Get your useless butt over here!
Preston walks down the path and gets into his go-kart. He puts on his helmet and starts the go-kart, charging down the racetrack towards Quigley. He crashes into the ball and begins pushing it down the track with the go-kart. The go-kart propelling it faster and faster, the ball moves speedily down the track. Quigley inside, flipping him over and over again. The ball veers off the track as the go-kart speeds by. The ball bounces down a slope. Preston rounds a bend. He turns the go-kart towards Quigley, still in the ball, who has come to a stop. He speeds straight at him. The go-kart collides with the ball, sending it flying through the air and splashing into the swimming pool. Preston rushes over and looks into the pool. The two halves of the ball lay open at the bottom of the pool, and Quigley is floating face down. Preston kneels down by the pool, peering in.
Okay?
Preston prods Quigley's arm, and suddenly, Quigley lunges at him, grabbing Preston by the neck. Mr. Bitterman and Juice run over, grabbing Preston from either side. Quigley gets out of the water.
Preston, are you okay?
The FBI and police accompany Shay.
What's this all about? What's happening here?
The three men look around to see officers surrounding them. Mr. Bitterman looks at Shay, confused.
As at this moment, you're fired from my bank.
FBI, Bitterman. From this moment, you're fired from your bank.
Shay holds up her badge, and Mr. Bitterman shudders.
The FBI? Yes, Preston, I am.
Okay, kid. Finally, at long last, who's McIntosh?
Preston looks up at them, guiltily. Juice rubs his beard and looks at Quigley. Mr. Bitterman looks at him as well. Quigley steps out from behind Preston.
I'm McIntosh.
You're McIntosh?
I'm McIntosh, and I want you all off my property now.
He's McIntosh.
You sure? I tell you, I'm McIntosh. Please tell these guys I'm McIntosh.
Oh, he's McIntosh. Don't you know Papa McIntosh and Big Mama McIntosh? Be hanging out with the brother, you know?
Okay, then, Mr. McIntosh. You're under arrest for fraud, money laundering, and grand theft.
What are you talking about? What's this all?
Bring in Peterman, too.
I'm a thinker.
And take Mr. Wise Guy, too.
Oh.
Get your hands off me.
Preston walks to Shay. She puts her arm around his shoulder.
Take it easy.
Be cool with all of this. You can't do this.
The officers lead the men away.
Hey, I own a bank.
Hey, come here, sir. Stay behind the line there. Everyone just calm down, okay?
A policeman stands outside the castle house, holding back the crowd.
Check this out.
Preston's father pulls up outside. He gets out of the car and walks to the house.
What's going on?
I don't know. Something to do with Mr. McIntosh. The FBI's all over the place.
Have you seen that little boy?
He's inside with the FBI.
Father runs towards the house, worried.
Whoa. Nobody gets in there without a badge,
I'm looking for my son.
Meanwhile.
Kind of neat. Can I see your badge?
Shay Stanley, FBI.
Preston looks at Shay's badge.
Cool. Yeah, just stretch it all the way across. Wait a minute. So that means our date? Just for your job?
Well, it started out like that.
I should have known.
Hey, you know, I wouldn't have traded that night for anything.
So when can I see you again, Shay?
Why don't you give me a call and say about 10 years?
5.
7.
6.
Okay. It's a date.
She smiles, leans over, and kisses him. His father walks around looking for him. Shay ruffles Preston's hair, smiles, and gets up.
Preston!
He watches her walk away as his father comes over to him.
Preston, oh my God, he's in shock.
His father wraps a coat around his shoulders.
Oh, I'm fine, Dad. I'm fine now. Oh, I'm glad to see you.
Preston hugs his father.
What's going on here?
Oh, it's a long story.
Well, when we go on home, you tell me all about it.
Okay.
His father helps him up. And they walk off.
I want to say goodbye to a friend, okay, Dad?
Wow, this is just great. I can't step out for a couple seconds. I miss all the action. Thanks.
Are you okay?
I thought you left, Mary.
No, I didn't leave. What did we say the party needed? Ice cream, right? I just went to get ice cream.
I don't know if I got the exact recipe, but I think I got it close.
Henry reaches over to pick up a bucket of ice cream.
So?
Preston licks a finger.
Hey, it's pretty close.
Well, I guess McIntosh is no more, huh? It's too bad because I really enjoyed working for him.
I had a good time too.
Do me a favor. Next time you see him, tell him that I'm really gonna miss him.
Preston looks up at Henry, smiling.
I miss you too, Henry.
You're gonna do just fine. See ya.
Henry pats Preston on the shoulder and walks off to his car as Preston watches.
Hey, Henry.
Huh?
Don't you have?
Henry searches his pockets.
What?
S-T-Y-L-E.
Style.
Preston smiles and walks off.
Hey, Preston. You're not going to finish this ice cream, I guess, huh?
Henry walks over to the bucket of ice cream and picks it up. He carries it back to the car.
So, what happened?
Oh, well, McIntosh wasn't... He wasn't who we thought he was.
How do you mean?
He shouldn't have done what he did. I mean, he shouldn't have fooled everybody.
I think you're right.
Father holds out his hand, and Preston takes it, smiling up at him.
It's been a long night. Better get on up to bed.
Yeah, I think you gotta get some sleep too, Dad. And tomorrow, I'll tell you all about Mr. McIntosh.
Preston walks into his room with his father.
Sleep well, Preston.
Ta-da! Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Preston. Happy birthday to you.
Make a wish.
Mother holds out the cake.
You know what they say? Be careful what you wish for.
What else do I want? I mean, got everything that I need right here.
Preston looks around at his family. Father smiles at everyone. Preston looks up to see a flyer from the bank pinned on his wall with a picture of Shay.
On the other hand.
He grins and leans over, blowing out the candles. One candle doesn't go out. He tries again. The candle goes out. Text, the end. Audio description by Prime Focus Technologies. Funded by Disney. Voiced by Alex O'Neill.
Why are you leaving me now?